Do you know, April? Well, I think you do know this, but I'm feigning that this is natural conversation for our listeners.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Do you know that I come from the same city as Shirley Bassey?
I do know that.
And Shirley was the tea girl at the school that my grandmother taught in Cardiff Bay.
Okay.
And which reminds
me of... Wait, the tea girl, like, served tea?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What level of school? Elementary school, middle school, high school?
Goldfinger!
You don't care about the details.
It was a primary school, what we call a primary school.
So young.
So 5 till 11. 4.
And they drank tea?
They had a tea girl for the staff back then.
Oh, for the staff. So child labor?
She
served tea to the teachers.
Yeah, she was 15.
But worked at the primary
but
school?
But worked there as the tea girl.
Okay, that sounds very weird. They needed to hire somebody to serve tea? It's pretty easy to make your own cup of tea.
My grandmother was born in 1898.
Still, that's wild!
You don't make your own tea.
So she just professionally, like every day, clocked in and was like, here's your cup of tea that
yeah,
I
think
made
she'll probably
in
go
2 seconds.
Go around with a trolley and one of those big sort of metal urns with a tap on
right.
it, perhaps, something like that.
Wow, okay.
And she lived in Romney Road in Cardiff, Shirley Bassey, which was the same road that my mum lived in when
wow.
she was a child. So lots of connections between me and our Shirley.
Does Wales have a population of 4?
19.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
And Tom Jones, whoa.
Yeah.
Elvis's favourite singer.
That's right.
We do have a disproportionately high number of great singers for such a small country.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm not including myself in that list.
Okay.
But I am including...
So modest.
I am including Shaky.
Who? Oh, Shaken Stevens?
Yeah.
He was Welsh?
Yeah, he's another Cardiff boy. A lot of people, your American listeners, won't know who Shaken Stevens is. And you're lucky.
Yeah, you showed me a video... He's just a straight-up Elvis impersonator, which that's fine. We have plenty of them in the States, but the fact that he was able to have, like, a whole career of his own where I'm like, you're just an Elvis impersonator?
Well, when I was a child, see, you had to make a decision. So when I was, like, 10 or 11,
uh-huh.
so 1980, 81, let's talk 81. So when I was 10 and then turned 11 in 1981, if you were my age, you had two binary decisions. British listeners will understand this if you're of a certain age. Your Saturday morning, I mean, America, you all grew up with 900 TV channels. I grew up with 3.
That's not true. That's not true if you didn't. I didn't have cable.
How many channels did you have?
I mean... My parents didn't get cable until I was in high school, and so you had, like, the three... You had, like, NBC, CBS, ABC, and then you had things like PBS. Like, you had, honestly, only, like, 8 or something, if you didn't have cable.
And my parents... 8! 8's luxury!
But 8, like, shitty... Like, you had to have, like, an antenna. I remember that I had... well, I lived in Atlanta, so we had, like, TBS, so I could watch, like, Braves games and old movies and old TV shows, you know. TBS in the early days would play shit like I Dream of Jeannie and stuff, and then Braves games and CNN. I even feel like we had CNN at first that was non-cable, but yeah, if you didn't have cable growing up, then you still...
You were still...
You had to have an antenna. Like, we had... If you didn't have an antenna...
You had to have an antenna.
I'm not being funny. Like, if you didn't
yeah,
have...
Yeah, because we had to have an antenna. Everybody had to have an antenna.
Well, without an antenna, you could get the 3 main channels, like I said, like the 3 network channels.
I grew up in an era where you had to have your little aerial on top of the telly.
And you're
you'd
also
of, you'd move it around.
Significantly older
and wiser.
Than me.
But yeah, we grew up with 3. So your binary choices were Saturday morning television.
Right.
You either watched a show called Tiz Was, which was ITV, which is a little bit more anarchic.
Uh-huh.
Or you watched Noel Edmonds Swap Shop, which I now, in retrospect, realize I made the wrong decision, and I used to really enjoy Swap Shop. But the other choice you had to make was, were you in the Shaken Stevens camp
mm-hmm.
or the Adam and the Ants camp?
No contest. Clearly you chose Adam and the Ants.
Yes, of course I did. Yeah, okay. So I got one out of
those. Three. Wait a minute. How did those two very different dudes...
They were the two big popular acts of the time.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so I went for Adam and the Ants.
Good.
Which I'm still to this day happy about.
Yes, but, yeah. Of course.
But some people were massively into Shaky.
I'm not saying you can't be into them, but it's like weird that those two guys, that's the choice you had to make. Like two, to me, and so dissimilar creatively.
Yeah, but the thing is with pop music, right?
But if that's all you got, if that's all that's on offer...
Pop music is weird. Everybody thinks they can define pop music, and they can't. You can't define it musically. You can only define it by who it's sold to, how it's marketed. And so in 81, Adam and the Ants and Shaken Stevens were both considered pop music in the same way in the early noughties. Kylie Minogue, when she was doing, you know, house-influenced electronica, like Can't Get It Out of My Head, and Busted were both pop music. And it's a thing that that fans develop, this instinct for what pop music is. But they can be wildly different musically. So the idea that Shaky, your choice was between Shaken Stevens and Adam and the Ants, didn't seem weird at the time. They were both pop.
Yeah,
you just sort of intuitively knew.
Just because it was two dudes who wore makeup or something?
Shaky didn't wear makeup.
Didn't he wear, like, eyeliner and stuff?
Shaken Stevens, a good Welshman. Eyeliner.
I don't know.
It never been
that video, the one video he showed me. I just was like, is this fate? Again, I'm like, is this just like a Vegas Elvis impersonator guy?
He'd have never been able to cross the Severn Bridge back into Wales if he'd got one.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know the local politics of the matter, but wild. Well... Today.
Oh, yes.
A song by neither of those dudes.
Okay, well, give me a ramp up, as the Tories like to say at the moment.
I feel like you like this band. I feel like this is a band that we actually agree on.
Okay, let me work something out.
Okay.
I'm going to guess it's a band.
Okay. Not from Wales.
Oh.
But yeah, I feel like we've talked about them before. They're a huge, hugely popular band.
Are they still going?
Still going.
Do they have men in it?
All men.
All men.
All dudes.
All dudes. And it's not R.E.M.
It's not R.E.M. They're British.
Oh, please don't say it's U2.
What? No. When have I ever said I liked U2?
I don't know. I thought you might.
This never happened.
Okay, good.
No, we've talked about them because they're like a super mainstream band that you're like, oh yeah, I like them. And then you also remember seeing them on TV when you were a kid. Or were you a teenager? They're on Mute Records.
Oh.
Electronic pioneers.
And very huge in America.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you know?
And they're the fast fashion.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what Depeche Mode means, right? In French?
I think so.
Depeche Mode. Now, totally fucking love them. Duh. Like, they're one of those bands where I feel like most ever... Like, they're popular for a reason. I don't agree with that thing. Like, if something is mainstream, then it automatically sucks. No, some things are mainstream because they're just fundamentally good.
I would never... See, I don't think Depeche Mode have ever been mainstream.
They play like four sold-out nights at the Hollywood Bowl.
Mainstream and ticket sales are not the same thing.
Well, they also chart... I mean, like...
They're just a massive cult
successful.
Band.
How can you be a cult band if you sell literally millions
of
tickets?
Well, in the same way that Radiohead... I mean, I'm not a big Radiohead fan, but in the same way that Radiohead are a cult band but can still headline festivals. They're not mainstream in the way that a band like The Script, who sell fewer records but are undoubtedly mainstream.
No, I don't know, man. I don't know how to define that. Look, again, and I don't... None of this is like... I don't mean it as an insult or whatever. Again, that teenagery thing of like, if it's popular, it's not cool. Like, I don't mean it that way. But I mean, like, my mom probably knows who Depeche Mode is. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty mainstream. But seriously, like, I think that they're globally hugely
famous. Yes, they
famous.
Are, but they're not like, mainstream. They're not mainstream.
I don't agree with you. They're played on, like, top 40 radio.
Yes, but they're not mainstream. That doesn't mean they're not huge. They could be the biggest band in the world and not be mainstream.
I don't understand what your criteria is, then.
Mainstream is to do... Right, I could play your record by a band that has, you know, an imaginary band that has yet to release their first single. and you could hear it and say, "Oh yeah, that's mainstream." Mainstream is a style as much as it is an arbiter of sales and success. Depeche Mode are quite left field. They just happen to be left field and huge.
Okay, well, I also want to say, like, this is a gross name drop. I don't mean it to be. It was one of the coolest things I've been able to do. My friend Chris Hardwick hosts a podcast, and he is so successful that he's able to get, like, really huge people on it. Like, I got to interview Iggy Pop, which is, like, one of the most insane days of my entire life. And he had Dave Gahan on, and he texted me, like, "Yo, you want to come hang out with Dave Gahan?" I was like, "I'll be there yesterday." Dave Gahan could not have been nicer. The nicest guy. And also, it was interesting because to me, I also sounded exactly like Billy Bragg, had the exact same accent as Billy Bragg. Like,
well, they're only about 30 miles apart in where they grew up.
I know. I guess I figured he was going to sound more. I mean, this is like so dumb. I mean, I'm not as aware of the like British class system or whatever. I just thought, oh, you're the lead singer of Depeche Mode. You're fucking super duper famous and rich. Like, you're going to sound like royalty or some shit. And he was like straight up chimney sweep, like total, like, Essex or whatever the fuck accent.
Yeah, it's Essex, yeah.
He was so nice.
It's like
so
Alison
Moyet.
Awesome. Have you ever heard Alison Moyet speak?
No.
She's proper Essex, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never heard her speaking voice. Now that you say that, I've only heard her
singing.
I taught
her daughter.
That's right.
Who didn't sound Essex at all.
Anyway, so he was super nice. And the crazy thing is I always assume that people... This is like going to sound so dumb. As most everything I say it does. But you, like... I assume if you're in a big band, like a big, crazy, successful band,
yeah,
that you probably have kind of like a harder time enjoying music because you kind of maybe see other bands as your competition. It's almost like you don't want to listen to the stuff that your co-workers are putting out in a way.
Yeah, but I think when you're as big as Depeche Mode, I think that probably goes. That happened to me, who was in a medium-sized band.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there was... there was a real sense of rivalry. Maybe that was just me, but I think if you're Dave Gunn and you're in Depeche Mode, you're outselling everybody, so it affords enjoyment. Like,
well,
Elton John loves everything, doesn't he?
Well, of course, but I asked him because I was like, he was like a super punk girl. He was talking about all the shows he went to growing up, and he was like, "Oh my god, I was so in love with Susie Sue, but I was like terrified of her, and I used to go see her, and she would, if ever we made eye contact, I would be like so freaked out, but yet have a huge boner. It was awesome." I was like, "You're the funniest dude ever." But then I was asking him about, I mean, not literally, but like he just was saying all
that's
these things.
Slightly disappointing.
All these things growing up, like that he would do growing up, I was like, "Oh my god, you are living my dream life," because he is the exact age that he could go to shows in like the late 70s. You know my shit, 1979. Like, yeah. He was there. But then I asked him about The Cure or something. I was like, because he was talking about bands he liked, and I said, "Can you listen to other bands? Like, I would say The Cure or your contemporaries. Is it? Do you listen to them, or are you like, oh no, they're our competition?" And he was like, "Dude, I fucking love The Cure. They're rad." He was like, "I remember when Wish came out and we all heard it and we were like, fuck, we gotta step our game up. Like, this is so good that we gotta be better." And he was just like, "They keep us on our toes," but he loves that. It was just a thing where I was like, "Oh, I didn't think you listened to them. I would think that you would see them as..." You know what I'm saying? Does
yeah,
that make
absolutely.
Sense?
But if they had competition at the time, I would say it was The Cure and New Order, probably.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, that's because you're wrong.
But I don't think so. Sonic,
New Order, like... and The Cure are the same band with different singers. Basically, it's like the New Order and The Cure write the same songs, but one of them plays them with...
I don't think
one
so.
One of them plays with them with guitars. The other one plays them with synths.
Well, that's what... Yeah, I'm talking about like... Late 80s,
yeah.
90s, Depeche Mode and Cure are way more similar because they're both getting more guitars.
Okay.
Than New Order was.
Yeah, but I'd still say, New Order are definitely a contemporary of...
Anyway, he's super cool. The craziest part was they were... So yeah, they were about to play like four straight nights at the Hollywood Bowl, right? But they had a warm-up show. They had a warm-up show that night at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. So let me just say, if anybody's trying to come for my fucking goth cred, you can step the fuck back. Because I got a gold in the Goth Olympics when I saw Depeche Mode play in a motherfucking cemetery. Okay.
So, no, I wouldn't call them goth.
Yeah, but that you're not American.
Yeah, see, our definition of goth is a lot narrower.
Your
than
definition
yours.
Of goth is more our definition of industrial.
I would say bands like Sisters of Mercy and The Mission, they're goth.
Yeah, they are, but like we would also include... Yeah, but you and I have seen... Now we're just bringing a personal argument into this, because you and I have seen people...
That's the only reason people listen.
Well, we've seen people walk down the street, and I'm like, check out... You're like, look at that goth, and I'm like, that's totally an... In the States, that would be an industrial person who's into like KMFDM and... that German band I can't pronounce. And
Neubauten.
Like, that is more what that look is in the States.
Yeah, well,
and
that's
here
what
y'all call that more goth.
See, that's what... But that's what your country does, isn't it? It culturally appropriates what we do and then gets...
Oh, we've culturally appropriated goths?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on, that's a British invention.
In general.
Like grime.
Anyway, so today's song is Depeche Mode.
Okay, good.
It is my favorite Depeche Mode song, I think. It shares, I think, funnily enough, too, it shares a title with Brooke Benton from Away episode back. But this is, and I, dude, I love
Wouldn't
Depeche
it be brilliant
Mode.
If it, you said it shares a title with one of our previous songs? It's Marion the Librarian.
Yeah, it's Marion the Librarian. They covered this banger. No, it's hard to choose. I love, they're one of my favorite bands ever. I have everything. They're the greatest. Love them so much. But this... If I had to choose, this is probably my favorite Depeche
Mode
song.
Well, weirdly enough, you do have to choose.
I'm choosing. I'm making a choice right now.
Yes.
Martin.
Yes, my darling.
Depeche Mode.
Yes, darling.
Lie to me. Why do I like this? I thought somebody's been vacuuming, but it's the construction. If y'all can hear some buzzing or something, it's construction next door.
April.
Yes.
You gave me a look while I was working this out.
Yeah, because you indicated that you don't like it. I don't know why I'm surprised, because you're the king of the haters.
Honestly, it... If you could see April's face, I mean, it really... She's
just like, what more can I do?
She loathes it. I'll tell you what you could have done. You could have chosen People are People.
Hi, this is April.
And this is Martin.
And you have been listening to us on the free preview feed. The free view feed?
That'll do.
The free feed of...
Why Do I Like This?
That's right. WhyDoILikeThisPodcast.com is the URL that you can go to hear entire episodes. What? Ad-free?
They are indeed ad-free.
And what's that URL?
It's WhyDoILikeThisPodcast.com.
That's right. WhyDoILikeThisPodcast.com. Also, Patreon.com/WhyDoILikeThis. But I guess the easiest way is...
WhyDoILikeThisPodcast.com.